Welcome to the Sales Squared Podcast, your destination for leveling up in sales, marketing, and business development.
Dollar dollar bill, y'all.
Join us to hear real entrepreneurs with real experiences, engaging with real experts from the world of sales, business, and entrepreneurship. And now for another Sales Squared Value Bomb.
Buongiorno, and welcome to another episode of the Sales Squared Podcast.
Yes, buongiorno to everyone.
Buongiorno to you. Today we're going to talk all about marketing, starting a marketing campaign, and what to actually do when you start. How do you actually get out there and begin a campaign, line it up for success, and actually start getting traction with it? And the main problem that I wanted to actually begin with today is a lot of people that I talk to, they want to run before they can walk when it comes to a marketing campaign. So a lot of the times they'll want to go straight in and start pitching to anyone and everyone who could be a good fit for their product. But one thing that I always begin with every time and is crucial is actually starting with the customer, right? Because that, at the end of the day, the message is going out to the customer, and you're going to be able, you know, you have to be able to resonate with them. You're going to have to be able to appeal to them and really grab their attention. If you imagine that your customer probably gets a lot of marketing messages per day, your one wants to be the one that really sticks with them and resonates with them and takes them kind of out of that passive mode that they're going to be in when they usually read ads or marketing messages, and put them into that active mode. So the first thing that we do is look at your customer avatar. So your customer avatar, it's not just demographics. Demographics is important. So for example, if you target plumbers in the United States with five members of staff turning over 500 grand a year, for example, then that's a good start. But more importantly, think about who are they, not just demographically, but empathetically too. So thinking about what are their challenges, what are their pain points, what are their desires, and what are they looking to achieve in their business that you can really help them out with. So that's a process within itself. And what we generally do is we use a process called spin questioning. So there's a great book called Spin Selling by Neil Rackham. And what he did was he went into hundreds and thousands of sales organizations, sales companies, and found out really what it is. What's the best approach for selling? What's the best approach for B2B sales? How can we use the sales process to really get the most out of it and really resonate with customers? And he came up with this concept called spin selling. And spin is a four-part framework, and it stands for situation, problems, implications of those problems, and needs. So let's break this down a little bit. Let's begin with situation. So Scott, what in your mind, what does situation mean, and how can we use situation to begin a marketing campaign?
Well, it's always good to start from the start, right? So when you're talking to a prospect, when you're talking to a potential lead, the first thing you want to do is understand what their current position is. So, you know, what are they, so for example, marketing, right? You know, what are they doing marketing-wise right now? You know, what channels are they using? You know, what are they committing to in terms of budget, maybe, perhaps? You know, what are they doing in order to get their message and their brand out there? So by asking those current sort of questions, firstly, you understand where they are in their business. But secondly, you can start to, in the back of your mind, highlight potential opportunities and potential threats, I guess, in terms of what's going to work, what's not, and what are you going to do about it moving forward. So starting with the situation is the best place to start, because you get a very, very broad understanding of what's happened before, what's happening right now, and then you can tailor your services to what can happen in the future.
Absolutely. It's about getting that broad understanding at the start, right? So if we can kind of paint a picture in our own mind of the current situation that our prospect has, and let's say you are selling, let's say you're selling business coaching, right? And the first thing that you want to really find out is, firstly, what are the aspirations of that person who you want to target? Let's go back to the example of the business coaches who work with plumbers. So what are the aspirations of that firm? Are they looking to grow? Are they looking to retain more staff? Are they looking to find the right staff? What is it currently in their situation that they're looking to achieve? And let's find out, do they already have a coach? Are they even qualified? Do they have a budget? So these are the kind of things that we can begin teasing out at the beginning and really understand what is the current situation. From there, what we need to do is move into problems. So this is when the real selling starts happening. And of course, this applies to marketing too. So in a marketing message, let's imagine that you're setting the scene and you're telling in your advert or in your direct outreach or whatever it might be, you're telling your prospect, hey, look, I work with plumbers who have five staff or more and are turning over 500 grand, and I help them to create a stream of new revenue for their business and a new revenue channel, and this is how I do it. And not exactly like that, but you want to kind of set the situation in terms of who you are, who you help, and make sure that they know it's relevant to them, right? So from there, it's moving into problems. So I help plumbers solve the problem of X, whatever it could be. But really going into that, thinking about your customer avatar, what are some of the problems that they have, and how does that make them feel? What are the consequences of that? What is the outcome of having these problems that really causes pain for them? Is the pain in the form of frustration? Is it in the form of anger? Is it in the form of sadness or whatever it might be in their business? How can you start relating to that and resonating with that and actually putting that into your marketing channel?
It's a great point, Cameron. And I think, you know, for a lot of listeners out there who are in sales, who are looking to prospect B2B potential leads, then, you know, I think a common misconception is, you know, people forget they're actually selling to people, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
You think about how businesses run, it's all about people. But don't forget, guys, you know, during this, you know, the questioning period, when you're starting to really dive into their problems, this is where you're starting to build some really subconscious rapport. This is where you're starting to really understand what is making them feel frustrated, sad, and happy. You know, and you can use that to really start to position your business and your service as well. So when you're starting to question these people, guys, as well, think about the way they're responding to you. You know, are they brash? Are they quite detailed? Are they pretty fast off the bat when you ask them a question? So you're also starting to build a psychological picture of who this person you're selling to is, and that's going to help you indefinitely as you walk down that sales cycle.
Yeah, for sure. And Scott is using the example of like a sales call or something in that regard, but it works exactly the same for marketing, right? So in terms of positioning things in certain ways, instead of analyzing the direct response you get, analyze the results. Are people clicking on this advert? Are people responding to this direct outreach? Whatever it may be. Start analyzing when you mention certain problems within your marketing or certain challenges within your direct outreach. What are the results and what are the click-throughs or the response rates on those particular problems or those particular challenges? And that'll give you a really, really good idea of what are some of the main challenges that my customers have and how can I start tailoring solutions now within that advert to move into that. So moving on from problems, it's implications of those problems. So what you want to do within that marketing is kind of build a little bit of pain and also a little bit of certainty in the mind of your prospect that you can really help them. So it could be by going a little bit deeper into the problem and expressing that maybe 67% of your customers go on and double the size of their business after working with them, and kind of diving into some of the implications in terms of, you know, what would that mean for your business if you could turn that around? You know, you've got all this pain at the minute, you've got all these challenges at the minute, but if you could achieve X or you could achieve this growth within your business, then start getting them to dream about that, if that makes sense. And that transitions really, really nicely into the need payoff in terms of your particular solution and talking a little bit about how your solution does that and maybe again some of the results you've achieved in the past and creating that kind of well-rounded marketing message where you're really resonating with prospects and you're not being narcissistic, if that makes sense. So you're not just approaching people and blasting in their face, hey, I do X. Hey, I do business coaching for...
And how many people do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes in these marketing messages that I see, they're not even mentioning who it is they work with. They're not even mentioning the challenges that they provide. They're going straight into the pitch, which is a massive, massive mistake and a mistake that a lot of people make. So really start thinking about your customer and make sure that your marketing efforts are customer centric and they're always focusing on that. So that's where we transition from the customer after we've shown them that we understand them, after we've shown them that we work with people like them and we feel their pain, we know what it is they're going through or whatever it may be in terms of how we can help them, how we can help them achieve their goals or reduce their pain or whatever it may be, it's all about the solution from that point. So what I see in a lot of solutions is people are a little bit feature heavy. So they'll say, for example, you know, I'm a business coach and what I do is I do a weekly call with you where we discuss X and we discuss X and we help put a plan together for this and that and whatever it may be, but it's not getting to the heart of what the benefits are. It's talking about features and quite frankly, your customer doesn't really care that much about the features. They care about the benefits, they care about the bottom line, they care about the so what of what it is you offer and what they're going to achieve. So in terms of creating a solution that's benefit orientated, what are some of your advice on that, Scott?
It's just so important. I think, you know, take a step back and you think about, right, you know, you go to a store, right, and you buy a yogurt and it's this beautiful vanilla yogurt and, like, you know, I'm not buying that yogurt just because it's a yogurt. I'm buying it because of the taste. I'm buying it because of the experience it gives me. I'm buying it because it makes me feel good. Mm. It makes me want to eat that yogurt.
Yeah.
And you know what yogurt I'm on about, right? We can't name names, but...
Shout out to Rachel's.
Yes. Shout out to Rachel's. Awesome company. But the advice is, you know, this is all like a ramp up, right? You're building, you're continuously building those steps up and up and up and up. And not just in sales, even in the pre-approach, right? In marketing, you're building up some sort of certainty that after you've asked these questions, then a need payoff will come. Mm-hmm. It's a natural progression in the conversation.
Just to jump in there, in regards to the yogurt example, a really thing, something that came to my mind straight away was the Müller advert, right? Where it's, I think it's got like Nicole Scherzinger or something, and she's sat there like enjoying this yogurt. It's almost like orgasmic the way she's enjoying it, and she's like, "Mmm, so tasty, so creamy, so luxurious." And she's like sat there on a luxury chair, and it's like the sun shining, there's palm trees or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then Müller aren't showing you how the yogurt's made. They're not going into the factory and being, this is how we churn the milk for our yogurts. This is how we do this. This is how the manufacturers transport the milk to the factory. And they're not talking about that. That's the features.
Yeah.
Think about the benefits. How do you feel when you receive this product? And whether you're in B2B or B2C, it's the same, right? A lot of people say, oh, I'm in B2B, so it doesn't really matter what the benefits are. Yes, it does. You're still selling to people, and they still have things they want to achieve. They still have pain that they need to get rid of in their business. They still have goals that they need to accomplish, and you can help them achieve that if you get them dreaming about what it is. So it's not just about features, and sometimes it's not even enough to just talk about benefits. So let's say, you know, I help businesses to let's move on from the features, and you know, you're a business coach. Instead of the I spend time on calls every week, I help businesses to double the revenue within their company. Even that may not be enough, so you've already got to be asking yourself the so what after the benefit, right? So what is the so what is the end goal, so you can rest easy, spend more time with your family, and have more time to focus on your passions in life. Maybe that's the end result. Maybe that's really at the heart of what business owners want to achieve. Maybe they want to create a business that can run without them, and they can actually spend more time pursuing their passions and spend more time with their family. And that's why a lot of people get into business, right? Yeah. It's to design a life in their own way. So understanding that about the customer, getting really to the heart of what it is that they want and what they want to achieve. And always asking yourself, so what, when you're creating a marketing campaign? So what, you know? So
I think it's important as well to be critical of yourself, you know, and that's probably the hardest thing to do, right? Because, you know, we are as a population, we're proud, right? We want to be proud of our work. We want to be recognized. But if you're writing some really good sales copy and you're finding after a test and a measuring sort of process that something isn't working, then be honest with yourself and say, let's put a bullet in it. Because at the end of the day, you're not just hurting yourself. More importantly, you're hurting the clients. So, you know, be very, very critical of yourself. I know that we are quite often, right?
Yeah.
Really got critical.
Absolutely. And then it comes to the point of a USP, right? So positioning yourself uniquely in the market in order to sell your services or your products. So It's really important to understand your customer. It's really important to understand the benefits you can offer them, but then also be thinking, what makes me different from the competition? And kind of ask yourself, what are some of the objections that I get? If you get objections in sales calls or you get objections with people that you have meetings with, what are some of those objections and how can I distinguish myself from the competition to overcome those objections? So, for example, if you're a business coach, again, let's use that example, then what is it that you do? Do you have 20 years experience in sales that you can help them to apply to their business and really make strides towards growth that most other coaches, they don't have that experience, right? So that's positioning yourself uniquely. It could be anything, but it's always nice to put a spin on things that makes it very, very unique and grabs that attention, I suppose. And it's kind of about that elevator chat, right? Or the elevator pitch that you have. How can you, who are you? What do you sell? How long have you been doing this for? And how do you help your customers? If you can be unique with that, as well as get into the mindset of the customer, get into their head and think, what is it that they want to accomplish and how can I deliver this uniquely in a way that they haven't seen before or that they haven't had before, then it's going to be really, really powerful. And it kind of brings us to the last point, I suppose, of designing a marketing piece or a marketing campaign or advert or whatever it may be. It's all about the call to action.
Absolutely. Call to action. But before we kind of move on to call to action, you know, guys, anyone who goes to networking events, right, they're a really, really good opportunity to meet people within your market and have great conversations with. So think about, you know, who are you? What do you sell? How long you've been in the business? And how do you help your clients? And if you could get a 30-second pitch, like pretty bang on, that's a really, really good opener for those conversations at there.
I'm going to push back a bit on that. I don't think networking events are good.
You don't think so?
No.
Why not?
I think they're a waste of time. I think a lot of people go to these networking events and think, oh, I'm going to meet so many business owners. But the fact is, at least in my experience, a lot of people at networking events, they're not really serious about business. If they have 2 hours, 3 hours to spend on a Thursday morning, then you've got to ask the question, what are they sacrificing that time for? And in my experience, a lot of people, they're just there to sell to others, right? Which is fine, but a lot of them aren't in that solution mode. And it all becomes kind of a sell fest where everyone's trying to sell to each other. No one really wants to, you know, buy anything or invest in anything. And I think the value that you mentioned from networking events maybe is to refine your elevator pitch, use it as an opportunity to do that. If anything, if I was going to network, I'd rather go to an industry conference where I could meet people that I could partner up with, people that I could strategize with. But in terms of, at least my experience, my personal experience, and it could be different for other people, but for me, networking events, I'd much rather spend that time putting it into a digital marketing campaign or strategizing some new copy for my marketing, or talking with an expert about how I can actually reach the audience. And look, maybe networking events in the 70s were great because we didn't have the internet to reach wider market, but in 2019, which we're coming up to, networking events for me, dead.
And do you know what? I'm going to push back on my point again, right? So if you get to a networking event and there's 30 people there and you have 30 conversations in an hour, great. But how many conversations could you have on LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. How many approaches and outreaches could you have in 30 minutes compared to networking? Mm-hmm. So scratch that, Scott. Networking can be good, but in the right places with the right people. But in this day and age, digital is the way forward.
Absolutely. It's a tool that just shouldn't be ignored and is a lot more powerful, at least from my experience. And again, it could be different for if you listen to this and you found networking events, but from my experience and from speaking to others, I was speaking to a guy the other day, actually, and he said, oh, I've been going to all these, and he was a freelancer. He said, I've been going to these different networking events and it's just such a waste of time. I've spent like hours just having these conversations with people and it doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it's great, meet new people or whatever. If that's what you want to do, then go for it. But you know, if I want to meet new people, I'll probably join a tennis club or something.
It's a lot more fun.
Exactly. So, you know, that's my take on that anyway. But let's get back to the call to action, so the final part of a marketing strategy. So the last thing that you want to do once you have your customer avatar sorted, you have how you're going to approach them, getting into their head, thinking about the challenges that they may have. You're going to think about your spin questions in terms of developing a message. You're going to think about how you can create a USP and really position yourself uniquely among the competition. And then you've still got one hurdle left, and that's actually, you know, you've got a bit of interest, and it's kind of like the AIDA model, right? So attention, interest, desire, action. And action is really the most important step, because that's what's going to be the advancement in your sales process and your marketing process. Whatever that step may be, you want to get a really, really solid incentive there to wrap things up. So it could be, if you're a business coach, hey, I'm going to offer you a free consultation one time. We're going to go deep into your business. We're going to think about some of the major growth opportunities that you have. I'm going to send you a report afterwards with three steps based on my experience working with my clients that I think you can implement next week to achieve more progress in your business. So that's the incentive right there. If people like what you tell them after that and they want to continue the dialogue, then great, and you've probably got yourself a really, really solid opportunity. But if the call to action is going to be something quite weak, like let's have a call or whatever it may be, then it's probably not going to be quite as effective, unless the pain is really, really just rife within that prospect and they're desperate for a solution, which is could happen. I heard the other day this marketing guru talk about finding clients in heat. So every now and again you will find these clients who are actively looking for a solution for their problem straight away. So it could be, hey, my business is going down the drain, I've lost 5 employees this last month and I need someone to turn the ship around right now. I need a business coach to go and sort me out. So yeah, you will find clients like that, but in general you want a really solid call to action to incentivize people into the next step.
I mean look, if you was a business coach right now, Cameron, and you said that to me, you know, as a business owner, what have I got to lose? You know, I get a full report, I get a free diagnosis of what's working, what's not.
Exactly.
If anything, I get free insight into my business. Mm-hmm. I get a broader understanding of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And because the call to action is so strong, then, you know, it just makes sense to follow up Cameron with either, you know, maybe an in-person meeting. That's quite valuable. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, maybe a book that addresses some of the challenges that have come up on the report. So, guys, you can get really, really creative with this. You know, there is no wrong answer. You can be really, really flexible in terms of what you offer. And as long as that call to action is strong at the end, it's going to be fine for you.
Boom. I like it.
Boom, boom.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, guys. That's how to craft your marketing approach. And if you use these steps, then you're going to have a lot of success. And if you consistently deploy a strategy like this, then it's only a matter of time before you really start understanding your market and you really understand what it is that works. What are the main challenges that I mentioned that really resonate? What are the main calls to action that I offer that really resonate and get me leads? So it's all about that, right? A lot of marketers, again, on social media or direct mail or whatever it may be, or on ads, they forget these things and they don't craft their message in a way that's strategic. And instead, they kind of just try and vomit on as many people as possible about their solution and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So you're going to have more success using this strategy. I can guarantee that. And if you have any questions about this, if you want to reach out to us and have a little bit more in-depth chat about how this all works, then we are more than happy to speak with you. Feel free to reach out. We'll leave both of our contact details in the bio, in the show notes. So feel free to reach out. We do want to hear from you. Again, I mentioned on the last podcast, December has been our best month for downloads on iTunes podcast app and Spotify and all of that stuff. So
amazing.
We really, really appreciate you listening in, and we'd love to hear from you. So if there's anything that you want us to talk about or anything you want us to cover, then reach out.
Absolutely. Maybe before we go, Cam, we can actually talk about one huge goal each that we have for 2019. Mm-hmm. So what is your biggest goal that you'd like to achieve in 2019?
For me, my biggest goal is to be in a position where I have a number of people that I am helping to develop, that I'm helping to improve in their careers and can be an employer for them in that regard, that is really doing their bit and helping them to grow as people and as business people. And also, it's a revenue goal. I want to triple the size of my current income for myself and my business. And that's kind of where my main business focus is. In terms of my personal focus for me is actually to increase my cardiovascular fitness, funnily enough. So I've for a long time now, I've been training with resistance and weights, and as an ex-personal trainer, that was my go-to. But what I'm realizing is I've kind of neglected the fitness side of things. So my goal is actually to run a couple of 10Ks in 2019 and become more well-rounded with my fitness. And for me, health is the pillar of success in business, because if you feel better, if you're more productive, or you feel better, you are more productive, rather to say, and health is really key. You're going to achieve more. So for me, that's a big one. So what about you, Scott?
There's some great goals, Cam, and I think I'll be with you on some of those 10K runs. Keep me accountable, guys. But for my biz, I mean, looking back over the last six, seven, whatever months it has been, you know, it's been a crazy ride. And I think my goal for next year is just continuing the momentum that we got, continuing the confidence that we've built, and reaching a wider audience, not just in terms of the podcast, but in terms of people, making that difference, serving people on a meaningful level, and really educating the wider population on sales, marketing. And I think it's a really, really good vision to have, especially when, you know, there are so many people in this industry and there are so many young people doing this. You know, that's exactly where I want to be involved in. But personally, it's about family for me. I think creating stronger ties, you know, sacrifices have had to be made to do the stuff that we're doing. So a big focus for me is getting a lot closer to family, and being able to see them a lot more regularly. So that's it for me. But guys, we want to hear your goals as well. You know, what are you aiming for in 2019? You know, is it a bigger business? Is it more sales, a better closing rate? You know, just becoming a better person, right? So let us know, guys. Just email us, text us, LinkedIn us, any form of communication will do. We want to hear from you. And, you know, the more faces we put to the name, the better.
Love it. Awesome, guys. Until next time, keep squaring those sales.
Boom.